Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
The government funding mess, we'll talk about that. RFK Jr. is running as an independent. Should we be happy? Should we be sad? Should we be scared? All that, so much more coming up tonight on I'm Right. We have a bill. Well, we have funding. Over the weekend, while you were busy out doing, you know, baseball and church and hanging out with the fam, Republicans did what Republicans always do. They lost. They lost to Democrats in a government fight. And look, let's pause for a moment. Tell me you could see this coming, right? I told you it was coming. You should know by now it was coming, whether you're 6 or 96. The Republicans lose. That's what Republicans do. Republicans lose because Republicans are losers. But it's more specific than that. This is what we face right now as a country. We'll get to Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm and this actual funding thing. And just pause for a moment. This is what we face right now as a country. This is a common thing countries have faced, a common thing people have faced in human history. It is a common thing for a human being to be in a dire situation. And the situation is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, right? The boat is going down. In fact, let's do this little analogy. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture this moment. There's a big boat. It's a big cruise ship. All these people are on it. And boom, hits an iceberg, okay, Titanic style. And the boat starts going down. And the life rafts on one side of the boat, for whatever reason, maybe there's high seas or something, they start filling up with water. And they're dragging the boat under the water. Instead of helping, they're a drag. But the people who are in charge of the boat, they look at the lifeboats and they say, that's going to be our way out. We need those lifeboats. But you're standing there on the deck looking at them saying, no, we have to cut the lifeboats loose. But the people who are in charge of the boat say, no, that's such a bridge too far. Then we'll never have lifeboats. And essentially, in a bid to save themselves, the people who are running the boat are actually going to doom everybody. That is our government. That is the GOP. In a bid to kind of keep things normal, hey, let's not rock the boat, pardon the pun. Let's just let the boat go down. We are $33 trillion in debt. Did you know? I want you to wrap your mind around this. You know, our military budget is gigantic, right? It's huge, bigger than the next several countries combined. Huge military budget. The interest on our debt now exceeds our military budget. What am I saying? We have a 45-day funding bill. And of course, we got rolled. Democrats got virtually everything they wanted, with the exception of Ukraine funding, which they're going to get in the end anyway. They got everything. And Republicans are all hand-wringing. Oh, what should we have done? Should we have taken the border money? Did Matt Gaetz screw it up? All these other things. This should have been an all-hands-on-deck meeting to cut the lifeboats because the ship is going down. And instead, 90 Republicans voted against it in the House, only 9 in the Senate. For the most part, Democrats and Republicans came together once again to keep those lifeboats right where they are. It all seems so predictable, doesn't it? And for people like you, for people like me who understand history and we understand where this is going, it's horrific to watch. This country can still be saved if drastic, dire action is taken now and no one wants to take it. And I think about this a lot because every time I read a history book or I watch a documentary, I was watching another one this weekend on some various empire. This one was the Ottomans. On any various empire towards the end, as they start to crumble, as they start to fall, and you look back with 2020 hindsight on the nation, and you say to yourself, man, this point right here, if right at this point right here, they could have stopped everything and switched it around, done a 180 and headed the other direction. They could have saved it. And yet, nobody did. They didn't do it. And this is empire after empire after empire after empire throughout history. There's always a moment, a thing they could do to save it. And they never do it. And that's what we see now. And that's what the Republican Party really is, honestly. So let me spoil something for you. What this is 45 days. 45 days of funding the government. So essentially, they have 45 days now to buckle down, all hands on deck, everybody get here, and let's figure out how to save this country from the $33 trillion in debt that will slam into it like a hydrogen bomb. Instead, they've already scheduled 6 weeks off during that time. You see, after 45 days, Mr. Producer, go ahead and write this one down. Go ahead and put a timestamp on it. 45 days from this day right now, we will be giving you a show, bringing you a show right here on I'm Right. Unless that's a weekend, I don't have a calendar in front of me. But 45 days from this moment right now, we will be here bringing you a show discussing the next temporary funding bill that GOP came together with Democrats to fund. You can write that down, etch it in stone. If they had a bet on that in Vegas, you should bet your life savings on it. It is a guarantee because the lifeboats must remain where they are, guaranteeing all of us are going down in flames. So please don't ask me to sit here and give a crap about the Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy speakership fight.
Are you going to make a motion to vacate?
Speaker McCarthy made an agreement with House conservatives in January. And since then, he has been in brazen, repeated material breach of that agreement. I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy.
Okay. McCarthy shot back with this. It's a war of words now.
Yeah.
There is a lot to get to with you. I want to start, though, on the news this morning from Congressman Matt Gaetz, who says he's going to seek a motion to vacate. He's going to try to oust you as Speaker of the House.
Well, that's nothing new. He's tried to do that from the moment I ran for office. Look.
Well, this time he says he's going to keep going. May not get there before the 15th ballot, but it took 15 for Kevin McCarthy. He says he's coming for you. Can you survive?
Yes, I'll survive. You know, this is personal with Matt. So be it. Bring it on. Let's get over with it, and let's start governing. If he's upset because he tried to push us in a shutdown, and I made sure government didn't shut down, then let's have that fight.
I don't care. You two can fight. Vacate it. Don't vacate it. Who's saving my country? And look, part of the reason I don't care is I don't have any hope in any of these people. They just screwed us again. What's the big story of the weekend? The one everyone was talking about, the new shiny object. Jamal Bowman, that idiot communist from New York, he commits a felony on videotape. One, he's the dumbest human being in the history of the United States Congress, and that's saying something. Because, not because he pulled the fire alarm, and not because of his lame excuse that I didn't know it was a fire alarm. All those are predictable. Okay, he's a commie piece of trash and also a liar. That's all very predictable. He's the dumbest person in the history of the world for not realizing the United States Capitol is the most surveilled area in the world. You can't go take a dump in the United States Capitol without the security services there giving you an accurate rundown on how it went for you. Everything is on videotape in that place. And yet the sitting congressman from New York, one of the sitting congressmen from New York, actually believed he could get away with just pulling the fire alarm and no one wouldn't find out. But honestly, none of this matters anyway. This goes back to my none of this matters anyway. Because, okay, that's a member of the House immediately committing a felony on video. It's black, white. There's no arguing. It's not left, right, middle, not Democrat, Republican, communist, anti-communist. It's on videotape. What should we be doing today? What should have already been done today? Jamal Bowman should have been expelled from the House of Representatives, placed under arrest, and sent to prison. But let me spoil something for you. None of those things are going to happen. Jamal Bowman is not going to get expelled from the House. He's not going to go to prison. Why? Because the Department of Justice is wholly run by the communists in this country. You don't have any power federally in this nation anymore, which is why you need to retreat to a red state. But we're not going there right now. That's reason number one. He's not going to be charged. And two, you try to get Republicans to stand for something, and this is what you get out of Republicans every single time.
I was really appalled watching Democrats' actions today to delay it to get to a shutdown. But when we found that an individual elected to Congress would pull a fire alarm, that's a new low. We watched how people have been treated if they've done something wrong in this Capitol. It'd be interesting to see how he is treated on what he was trying to obstruct when it came to the American public.
Can you imagine how scared Jamal Bowman must be right now? We just pointed out the hypocrisy. Whoa! He's in trouble now, guys. The GOP just pointed out the double standard and the hypocrisy. Buckle up, Jamal. Gonna be a rough time for you. Ain't going anywhere. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk to Amber Athey about all of this ridiculousness and many other things next. Before we get to Amber, why do you think I call him the low-T GOP? Why do you think I have lobbied over and over again to get an official sponsorship for the low-T GOP for Chuck? Every member of the Republican Party in this country needs a male vitality stack from Chuck, or a female vitality stack for the ladies. It's all natural herbal supplements. I'm trying to help, not hurt. These are natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stack, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Do you think we could use that in the GOP? Do you think you could use that? Think you could use the energy, the focus, the vitality? Chuck.com, they give 35% off subscriptions. So don't pay full price like a chump. Get a subscription with the promo code Jesse. That's how you get that. All right? Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Do you still stand by your statement that when the fire alarm was an accident?
You know, I don't know why this has gotten so much attention. I was literally just in a rush to go vote, man. That's all it was.
Are you afraid of any repercussions either from leadership or from legally from Capitol Police?
I mean, listen, I take responsibility for what I did, you know, but like I said, I was in a rush to go vote, and, you know, the investigation will sort everything else out.
Have you talked to Jeffries about it?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's day one. Yes.
How was that conversation?
Well, I got to keep that between me and the leader, so I'm not going to share that publicly. Yeah, but we've been in touch with each other.
No. We gotta let the investigation take its course, of course. But it's all on videotape. There's no investigation. Joining me now, Amber Athey. She is the author of the book, The Snowflakes Revolt. Outstanding book, I should note. Millennials are killing us with their emotions in this country. Amber, okay, the Jamal Bowman thing, obviously it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. It's on videotape. Everyone knows what the deal is. I personally don't have any faith he's going to be expelled and nothing's going to come of this. I just roll my eyes at the thought that Democrats are ever going to face consequences.
Of course, they never do. That's typical. And what's hilarious about this is this guy is a former school principal, and he knows very well the consequences that would normally come from pulling a fire alarm for any reason other than an emergency. In his school, it was at minimum a few days suspension, and the worst consequences that his students would face is expulsion. So I think he should be subject to the same consequences that he would subject his students to at the school. Now, I have seen a lot of people speculating that he did this intentionally to stop the vote. And while normally I would agree that Democrats' political cravenness knows no bounds, in this case, though, with particularly Jamal Bowman, I really think it is possible that he's just that stupid.
Yeah, you know, we should always consider, we should always take that into consideration for these people that they are that dumb. All right, speaking of dumb, we passed a 45-day stopgap spending bill. There's now the Gates-McCarthy fight, the Gates fight with everybody, conservatives fight with this, Lindsey Graham's on there defending Kevin McCarthy. Here he was.
I think Kevin is the right guy at the right time. The only way he loses his job is if a handful of Republicans join up with the Democratic Party to fire him. That would be a disaster for the future of the Republican Party. That's not going to happen. Kevin has the overwhelming confidence of his membership. He worked to avoid a shutdown. Mm-hmm. He will help Ukraine, but he's telling everybody in the country, including me, you better send something over for the border for me to help Ukraine, and he's right to make that demand.
What am I supposed to think about Kevin? Obviously, I'm not a big fan of GOP leadership or Kevin McCarthy. What am I supposed to make of all this, Amber? I'm so used to being disappointed. I didn't care. I knew it was coming.
Exactly. I mean, this situation's kind of tricky because I think what happened here is the Freedom Caucus did kind of get out ahead of their skis a little bit. I think they were trying to replicate the success of that 15-vote showdown when Speaker Kevin McCarthy was first voted in by the Republican caucus. They were able to get quite a few good concessions out of that fight, including this ability to vacate the speakership or bring a motion to vacate the speakership with just one vote. They got greater representation on the committees. They got greater buy-in into the legislative process. But in this case, there was a better bill that could have been passed a few days ago that included both spending cuts and border security and did not have the Ukraine funding. Now we passed a CR that just doesn't have the Ukraine funding. And supposedly, there might be a backdoor deal between Kevin McCarthy and the House Democrats that he would bring Ukraine funding for a straight up-down vote when Congress comes back into session or starts debating the spending bill after the CR is close to running out. So if that's the case, then the Freedom Caucus probably should have known where that line was because clearly other people in their party were not interested in letting this go into a shutdown. The Democrats certainly weren't interested in going into a shutdown. So I think they just pushed it a touch too far. I support what they were trying to do, but in this case, the negotiations just didn't end in their favor.
Amber, if he does get bounced, which I doubt, what can we get that's better? I guess this is my point. We don't have a big right. majority, and I'm not defending Kevin McCarthy, but I'm looking at this list. Who's going to get appointed speaker who's better? Jim Jordan? We're stuck with dorks like this, right?
I think that's right. I mean, here's the problem. Kevin McCarthy is not a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. He's not an ideological guy. But that's something that Republicans, I think, kind of have to live with, because the benefit of having somebody who's not ideological in the speaker position is that he is simply looking at where the votes are. And that was repeatedly what we saw during the CR fight, which was there were some bills that were brought forward by the Freedom Caucus that maybe could have passed by a few votes in the House that had no chance of passing in the Senate. So it was basically a futile exercise. And Kevin McCarthy, I think, was pretty honest with them about what he realistically thought would get through both chambers, you know, both the House and the Senate. So it really hurts me and pains me to defend Kevin McCarthy in this case. But it seems like repeatedly Republicans wait until the last minute to put up this big fight about spending. And they try to use shutdowns as a political negotiating tool. And both establishment Republicans and Democrats really have no appetite for that. So you're basically negotiating against yourselves.
Great. Okay, I can't let you go without this Joe Biden clip. It just, Amber, it really amazes me. Look, you and I have known each other a long time. You know all politicians lie, Republicans, Democrats, definitely all presidents lie. That is for sure. But there's nobody who tells as many gigantic, easily verifiable lies as Joe Biden to the point where it's actually bizarre. Here he was again about the Voting Rights Act.
When I left the Senate, I was able to convince Strom Thurmond to vote for the Voting Rights Act. Strom Thurmond.
Amber, the Voting Rights Act, according to my records, was passed in 1965, and Strom Thurmond left the Senate, or died in 2003. Joe Biden left the Senate in 2009. How do you do that, Amber?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible stuff. It's kind of like how Bo Biden came home in a flag-draped casket after dying in Afghanistan, and how his house almost burned down and his wife almost died. I mean, really just amazing life that Joe Biden has lived. These lies, you know, they are funny, but in the case of the constant lies that he tells about his son, Bo Biden, I think those are the most disgusting, because he does this as a sort of narcissistic ploy to try to turn people's grief onto himself and make himself the ultimate victim. And there's something really despicable about that. And I think it really tells you everything you need to know about Joe Biden's character.
Yeah, he is. He's a really gross person. Amber, you are not. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jesse.
See you. All right, we do have some news with all this RFK Jr. stuff. And it might matter now. Talk about that in a second. Gosh, before we talk about that, let me explain something to you about the whole precious metals thing. When you talk about gold or silver, you can oftentimes, especially now, you can allow your mind to go to the place where, hold on a second, Jesse, are you telling me I have to, I need a bank vault? I need to store a bunch of gold bars? No. You should have some precious metals in your home to make sure you always have value. Always. You should be turning some of your money into precious metals. Not gigantic gold bars, and you don't need a bank vault. They're these little coins. Gold or silver coins. It's a little box. All you need is a little box. But you need something right now. Something. As they destroy the value of the dollar, and they go to digital currency, and they do all these things, something in your physical possession is needed. It's not this over-the-top, big, extravagant thing where they're backing up a Brinks truck in front of your house. It's just a box or two. Get some gold and silver coins in your hands to protect yourself and your family. Call Oxford, because they make all this super easy. It's really chill and easy, trust me. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call, all right? We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to be in Philadelphia on October 9th to make a major announcement at the very birthplace of our nation. I'm not going to tell you right now exactly what that announcement will be. I can say, though, that if you've been waiting to come to one of my public events, this will be the one to come to.
That's not good. And let me explain why that's not good. One major announcement. When you're backing out of a presidential race, hanging up the spurs, calling it quits, whatever word you want, whatever term you want to put on it, you don't have a gigantic rally in the birthplace of the nation to stand up in front of all your followers and let them know that you were calling it quits. No, this is a different kind of major announcement. And, well, there's a line from a movie once, and I forget what movie it is. I think the movie, don't quote me on this, is Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Yes, that's the name of a movie. It's kind of a mob movie. Very cool. Not for the kids, but I believe this is a line from that movie, although I'm not sure. One of the mobsters says there's something you can always trust, the word on the street. You can always trust the word on the street. Word on the street is Tony's doing this. Word on the street is that. Well, the word on the street in politics is RFK Jr. is going independent. This has been something I've talked to you about before. This has been something I have feared for quite some time. You will remember when we've talked about it before, this is why I saw this coming. It wasn't hard to see coming. Here comes this lifelong Democrat. He's a Kennedy, obviously. He joins the Democrat primary, what he thinks is going to be a Democrat primary. In a lot of ways, RFK Jr. has this old view of what America used to be. RFK joins this Democrat primary and thinks he's going to be able to compete or something like that. But RFK, like many Americans on the left, right, and center, RFK really, really, really misunderstands what time it is. He doesn't understand what kind of country he lives in now. He has some great ideas about some things, but he doesn't understand the Democrat Party. It's just the Communist Party of America. If you think about them like the Bolshevik Party, then you'll have a better understanding of how they run things. I'm not trying to be over the top. That's what they are. They're all communists, and that's how they run their party, with an iron-fisted, centralized control system that would never, ever tolerate dissent or some kind of challenge from an outsider. So he gets in this presidential race, and he thinks he's going to, you know, let's have some debates and have a war on ideas, or war of ideas. Not going to be allowed to debate. Of course, they're going to put him up there with Joe Biden. Did you see Joe Biden over the weekend?
I hope this experience for the speaker has been one of a personal revelation. I'm not being facetious. Anyway.
Yeah, they're not going to let RFK Jr., who's very much in control of his faculties, they're not going to let Joe Biden go debate that guy. So what's happened? RFK Jr., he ran headlong into the Communist Party of America, the Democrats. And they've told him, debates? No. There aren't going to be any debates. So he's being frozen out of the process, and he's going to announce that he's going to run as an independent. There are many different theories about this. I will just tell you personally, I believe that this is complete disaster for Republicans. If Trump does turn out to be the nominee, and it looks like right now he will, if we have an independent run from someone who's seen as an outsider, who stands up to Big Pharma and talks in truthful ways about that poison shot they call a vaccine, and then you have Biden and Trump, and then you have RFK, I am extremely concerned that RFK is going to pull so many votes away that we can't possibly win. So there, that's bright and sunny for you. Hey, let's talk to Kay about that and other things. Wonder what she thinks about RFK. I could see her liking him. We'll talk to Kay Smythe about that in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about legal protections. You know, you look around now at the legal system, you know they're not exactly on the side of gun owners. So what do gun owners do? They go buy insurance. This concealed carry insurance, it's kind of what it's called. You get the concealed carry permit, and then you get the insurance saying, hey, if something happens, we'll cover you. We'll cover your legal fees. But what you don't know, what most gun owners don't know, is that insurance, they cancel it on you. If they don't like the shoot, these insurance companies, they just say, ooh, nah, sorry, you're not covered anymore, and you're done. You don't need insurance. You need an attorney. An attorney ready to defend you at a moment's notice, on retainer, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's Attorneys for Freedom. That's what they do. Not an insurance company that can drop you. An attorney that's on your side. $50 off your sign-up fee right now. All you have to do is go to attorneysonretainer.us and use the promo code Jesse. Go protect yourself. Attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Is there a chance that you would run as an independent? Do you look at that ever? Like, and how do you even evaluate that?
Yeah, I mean, if they really shut down the process, we're right now, you know, we're grappling with the DNC, trying to get them to do the right thing. But if they rig the process so that I can't possibly win, which is how it's rigged right now, then I would have to look at other options.
Okay. What are we supposed to make of that? What do you make of that? I wonder what Kay makes of that. Joining me now, Kay Smythe. You can read all of her work at The Daily Caller, and you should read all of her work. Okay, Kay, what are we supposed to make of all this? Is this the end of the world? Is this a good thing? What do we make of this?
I don't think it's ever a bad thing when you start a hit with a Theo Vaughn clip. Like, dude, I'm so convinced that we've forgotten how to talk to trees. No, I kid. But I don't think it is the end of the world, but I think this is a really bad situation for the Republican Party. I think the RFK being so heavily censored by the Democrats, basically being, like, they're writing laws literally to stop him from being able to run. I think this is going to pull a lot of voters away from the Republican side. I also think, actually, though, a lot of people on the left will go for him. He seems to have that sort of, like, celebrity grab, that celebrity attention at the moment. And a lot can happen. It's still more than a year away. So I guess we'll have to see. But, yeah, I don't think it's good for the Republicans at all.
Okay, let's start there, because I actually agree with you. In your mind, why does he pull votes and more votes from Republicans and Democrats?
For me, it's two things. And you're going to think I'm crazy on one, so I'm going to start with the one that's not crazy. I think it is the vaccine stuff, because I think that that bleeds into this idea of freedom that the Democrats have forgotten. And I think that his stance when it comes to scientific research, I mean, it's one of the reasons that I think he is one of the few brilliant candidates we have right now. Obviously, I can't vote, and there's a lot of stuff he says that I don't love. I think the other thing is actually his grip on the environment. You know, it took me leaving a liberal city, spending some time in a conservative city, and then moving down to a pretty mixed state to realize that most people do actually care about the environment. And all the kind of crap that's going on, like people spewing on both sides of the spectrum, everything about sort of climate change, we really just tend to ignore the actual environment when it comes to that discussion. Whereas his record when it comes to environmental protection and letting that environmental protection actually go into protecting the lives of people, and we all have to live one-on-one with our natural surroundings, his record on that is kind of irrefutable. And I think he just speaks a lot of common sense to a lot of people who are used to just the politicking and the crazy.
If you're a Democrat, Kay, which I know you're not, but if you're a Democrat, why not go all in for RFK? I admit I don't think like that dirty commie scum, so I don't know how they think. But I look at him, he's a Democrat. He's appealing. Joe Biden's 8,000 years old. I know RFK is old, but he's a good-looking dude. He takes most of their positions on the issues. If I'm a Democrat, why wouldn't I vote for RFK?
All the Democrats I know come back at me and say, oh, well, he's crazy. And then the next thing I see is, tell me one crazy thing he said. Oh, well, I don't really know. I got into this debate with my family the other weekend, and I made them sit down and watch his whole interview with Joe Rogan. But that was sort of more about the vaccine stuff. But I think that really that's what it comes down to. They don't like him because he's a real disruptor within this sort of very safe space that the Democrats think that they've had, or Democratic voters, I should say, think that they've had built for them by the current administration, which is basically just like the residual vomit of whatever like Bill Clinton did back in the day. So I think it would, you know, that we're talking about 30 years of change. Like, he's going to come in and disrupt what we've been used to for literally my entire lifetime from the Democratic Party. And a lot of older people, especially boomers, they don't want that. They freaked out during COVID and they just don't want to hear it. And plus, this guy is censored more than like me, and I'm pretty heavily censored and shadow banned.
Kay, do you get the sense that your Democrat friends or family members, do you get the sense that they really feel like they have total control of everything now? And maybe a wild card like RFK kind of leads them to believe that might risk that. They have it all. Even though Joe Biden's a doddering old fool, they have it all. They have every institution. Why risk it?
Maybe. I think with, you know, when it comes to my family, like, they're all British. They can't vote. I don't really care what they have to say, but I love them. Out here, I think it really actually just comes from a place of ignorance. Like, this is going to sound awful to say. None of my Democratic friends and none of my liberal friends are going to watch this, and they're kind of used to the stuff that I come out with anyway at parties. But we're talking about a demographic of people who 25, 30 years ago were like punk rockers and grungy, and, you know, they were experimenting with drugs. That has pretty much flipped 180. And now we're talking about a group of people who, you know, read the woke version of Rolling Stone and they still think it's their Bible. Like, we're not talking about people who've necessarily progressed their intellect since the good old days. And then younger people, I just think they're exhausted and they're all trying to like pick their genders and stuff. So I don't really listen to anything that they have to say anyway.
Ted Cruz came on my show last week. He had this to say about the presidency.
I think without Joe Biden, I think the top four contenders are Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg, and Elizabeth Warren. I think in an open primary, in an open primary, I actually think Elizabeth Warren wins that. I think there's some real possibility Democrats try to parachute a Michelle Obama in there. And that would be the one candidate they could pretty easily tell the other four, sit down, she's going to do this instead.
Kay, thoughts?
I want to say, shut up, Ted Cruz. Like, shut up. I don't want to listen to you anymore. You're absolute crap. Like, I want to say that. But I don't know. Crazier things have happened. I don't think Kamala Harris is a contender. I do unfortunately think that a lot of my liberal friends would love to see Gavin Newsom in there because they'd be like, oh, he's young, he's got nice teeth, he's got nice hair. And I'm like, yo, I lived in California. That place is burning to the ground. You don't want him bringing the rest of that more, like, to the rest of America more than they already have. Elizabeth Warren, I think, is, I've never heard her name mentioned in this context before. So that's an interesting one. I definitely need to think about that. Obviously horrifying, but probably short-term quite calming for some people. Michelle Obama, she just got paid $700,000 to give like a one-hour speech in Germany. If she wants to be the president, sure, babe, give it a go. But you're clearly doing fine without that. You're part of the globalist elite. Maybe just like take a chill pill and like don't mess up the world for the rest of us anymore. That would be cool. So I don't really know. Like, do you think Elizabeth Warren? I've never heard that before. Is that the first time you've heard that too?
First time I've heard that. I don't know. I find Elizabeth Warren to be impressive. She's like 9,000 years old, and she looks like she's 60. I don't know what she's doing for, you know, taking care of herself, but she does very, very well. Speaking of which, I'm 42, okay? I'm old. Why do I know who Taylor Swift is? Why can I not avoid this person? Who? What is it with this person and the power she has over society? I don't consume any of this crap, and I know who she is. Why?
Okay, so again, as a Brit, just in case you guys didn't get that the first 12 times I brought it up, Taylor Swift never understood it. She was, like, her music, all the songs sound the same. There's a couple, sure, I'll listen to that if I'm, like, driving and I want, like, to be pumped up a little bit. But the obsession, I've muted, like, group texts with my girlfriends. I've just stopped engaging, actually, in all of it. Thank goodness one of my colleagues ended up picking up the whole Taylor Swift Kelsey, what's his name? Travis Kelsey pitch. I mean, I think it's a PR stunt. I lived in Los Angeles for a long time. I've been around these types of people. I think Travis Kelsey has been trying to get famous for a really long time outside of the NFL. Obviously, he's well known in the NFL, but outside of that, no one cares. That's why this joke is sort of going around that Taylor Swift has put Travis Kelsey on the map. I think that it's it's genius, really, from their PR teams. Because Taylor Swift, everyone's sort of like, oh, well, she broke up with that other guy. Why do I even know that? I mean, I should have the excuse of working in the media, but I don't even think I learned about that from work. She broke up with that guy. She has to have a guy on her arm. Matt Healy from the 1975. Why do I know this stuff? This is so embarrassing. I have a degree. But she broke up with it's really embarrassing, Jesse. You're embarrassing me on television because I know all of this information and I just don't care. Like, I don't care. And the fact that so many people my age care more about this than the fact that this country doesn't have food security is terrifying. No one's talking about the fact they're pushing in a digital currency. No, they're all talking about Taylor Swift and her and her dating life. And it's just tragic and embarrassing, and it's a sign of civilization collapse.
It is. It is. That is the celebrity culture we have now. Okay, come back soon. I appreciate you.
I will. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, Daddy Jesse is going to do a lighten the mood next. We have to fix some things that are going on. Somebody's screwing something up. A lot of people are. Maybe it's you. And we'll do that in a second. Before we do that, the hardest part about putting your money where your morals are, which we talk about all the time, now that the corporate world is all involved in politics, we want to put our money where our morals are. I want to buy here. I want to buy there. I don't want to buy here. The hardest part is actually where we put the money. The banks themselves. It's horrible. The banks themselves are horrible. And so we get these credit cards that are attached to the banks, and then we are supporting the evil banks. With your credit card, you're probably supporting Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood. Did you know that? You don't have to do that anymore. Now there's something new. Coin. COIGN. We're talking unlimited cash back rewards. You know, all the fluff and stuff you get with your other card, only they give back to organizations that share your values. Are you done funding Planned Parenthood? I am. You done funding Black Lives Matter? I am. Dump your credit card. Go get a Coin credit card and put your money where your morals are, where we spend all our money, with credit cards. Coin.com/Jesse for more information. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And once again, Daddy Jesse is going to have to step in and be America's daddy and give everyone a heads up about something. Before we get to that, let me give you a heads up that you're not stuck in your timeshare. The timeshare you think you're stuck in. I know, you're paying the annual fees and you're mad about it every year, and they've doubled and you're salty about it. We don't even go anymore. You're paying the special assessments and you're salty about that. I get it, I'd be salty too. And you think, man, I'm stuck here forever. They've told you, hey, sorry you signed the contract. Lone Star Transfer has heard all this before. You're not stuck, they'll get you out. They'll legally and permanently get you out. All you have to do is make a phone call. This is a family business. They put it in writing. They give you a time frame. They're successful 99% of the time. They will get you out. Call them. 844-310-2646. Now's the time to save some cash, by the way. Get out of that timeshare. Or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. All right. Now let's just cover something from Daddy Jesse. New York got a lot of rain. New York City got a lot of rain this weekend. And there was a lot of flooding. And I'm experienced in flooding because I've been through more hurricanes and typhoons than you can possibly count. I don't know why I'm always in these things, but I've been in them in Jamaica. I've been in them in Houston. I've been in them in Japan. I've been in them in Thailand. I've been in these things all over the world. So I know what it's like. And I know what the flooding's like. And I know that people are tempted in these situations to do things like this. Listen, I'm going to try to be calm here again. I just, you know what, let's explain this way. You know, right now, unless you're out in the wilderness, if you're sitting at home or in a city, maybe you're in a house, apartment, maybe, who knows what you're doing. Did you know that under the ground, it's not just dirt and rocks and stuff? Under you, things you never see, all kinds of pipes and things, water pipes, storm sewer pipes. Sewer pipes. When there's a flood, all this rain comes down from the sky, and all these waters come flooding in, and all of a sudden the street is full of water. Maybe your living room's full of water. Who knows? But everything's full of water. And maybe, especially in this social media era, take a selfie. Maybe you're looking at all this water and you're saying to yourself, man, that looks refreshing. I think I'll go for a swim. Almost looks like a pool. Oh, here's the thing. All those pipes that are underground, they fill up with all that water that comes down too. And then all that water, it overflows and comes up. And all the filth on the buildings, the sidewalks, the roads, the endless amounts of germs, viruses, bacteria like you can't believe. It all fills up too, and it's all in that water you're swimming in. You see, once again, floodwaters are not swimming waters. It's poop water. I know, it's funsies to go take a little dip. Look, Ma, I'm doing the butterfly in the cul-de-sac. Yes, you're doing a butterfly in a toilet that's full of poop. That's what you're doing. You're going to get sick, maybe deathly ill. Please stop swimming in floodwaters, okay? I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.